The Bulletin.
Well, this morning it's Andrew Gordy. I love talking to Andrew Gordy on a Wednesday, and I can't believe our first topic here. In fact, I might just hand this over to Ricardo and let you guys have a little cry session together. Because Manchester United, Andrew Gordy, let's look at them. Is Erik ten Hag's time up? Will he go, or will the injury crisis save him? What do you, Rio and Ricardo, think about this? Just go, guys, go.
Okay, I'll go first on this, Ricardo. I don't know how you feel, mate, but I just feel like watching Manchester United at the moment is like a form of self-harm. It's like self-torture. You've got to endure it. We've been through the good times. This is part of supporting your football club. You've got to be with them through the dark times as well. The trouble is, though, fellas, is the job that I'm in, a really bad Man United performance just follows you throughout the day. You cannot escape it. And last night, I had my good mate Jason Pine, he sent me a tweet last night. He said, brutal bulletin composition by News Hub Sports Editor stacking the Crusaders and Manchester United back-to-back on Andrew Gordy's auto cue. And as I said to him, I was like, what if I told you it was me? I did this to myself. I do this to myself, guys. Like, reporting on how bad Manchester United are is just part of the role, unfortunately, and is part of being a Manchester United supporter at the moment. But we're going to be with them through thick and thin. I can't say the same for Erik ten Hag because I think he's gone at the end of the season, guys.
Yeah, it's looking more and more that way, Gords. The rumour is Thomas Tuchel. He's done with Bayern regardless of what they do this season. So that is one that's been talked about. I tell you, the thing that really stands out to me is the injuries, though, and that's why I put that in the question as possibly a little caveat there. If you're Sir Jim Ratcliffe, if you're Sir Dave Brailsford from Ineos, who are sort of running the football side of things now, Gords, I don't know if you're aware of this, there have been 32 different backline lineups, back forwards this season. There have been 66 major injuries to members of the first team squad. They're without five senior centre backs. They're having to play Casemiro. Johnny Evans had been back in training for a week, and it looked like it. And they haven't had a left back for the last 3 months. So I do wonder whether or not that buys him time, because he is working with the new technical director, Jason Wilcox. So I wonder how invested they are in him.
Mate, this is the thing, right? I personally think that Erik ten Hag is a very good manager, and I would love to see our club give him time when he's not ravaged by injuries as well. The injury crisis this year. Now, like, we talked about this with the Crusaders this year, right? If you take a number of good players, you know, top-level players, out of any team in the world, you are going to see a downturn in performance on the field. I don't care what sport you're talking about. You know, if you took... like I said, we've seen it with the Crusaders. And if you took Cristiano Ronaldo and Luka Modric and Toni Kroos out of the, you know, the elite Real Madrid team, you'd see a downturn from them as well. It is just sport. That is the way that it works. The trouble for Erik ten Hag, though, I think, is that Sir Jim Ratcliffe doesn't really like him anyway. I don't think he particularly is in the mood to give Erik ten Hag time. And I think if that was a different case, if he did have some money in the bank, I suppose, that he had someone who was there, ready and believed in him and was prepared to be patient, I think the injuries would be an excuse. But now, I think it's more a reason to get him gone and make the change that he really wants to make. Tuchel, I'm not sure. There seems to be an awful lot of noise about about Gareth Southgate at the moment. I don't know whether that would be the right move necessarily. I don't know that I believe in Gareth Southgate as a club manager. I think he's a great international manager, you know, someone who can bring a squad together at short notice. Week in, week out management is a completely different proposition. I've always rated Tuchel. I think he's a very good manager, but he will clash. I suspect he will clash with Man United's ownership. Fascinated to see how it turns out. But yeah, whoever it is, I just can't see Erik ten Hag being there next season.
Right, let's change the subject, guys, before you get too depressed, and move across to a guy who's a real achiever. A fellow by the name of Sam Harvey, who ran 462 kilometres in 69 hours non-stop. That is equivalent of, I'm just trying to do some maths here, it's pretty much running to Taupo and then back to Hamilton without stopping from Auckland. There you go. How about that achievement?
Yeah, I once tried to run to Taupo and back. I got as far as the end of the road, Smithy, and I gave up. It's just not my cup of tea, long distance running, to be honest. I was more the was more the guy who made the relay team at school, you know, the 100-metre relay. Never much beyond, I reckon the mile. I reckon the mile was about my limit, Smithy. I don't know about you, but, yeah, I just can't get my head around these people, eh? Gee, they must get bored. What do they listen to? No podcast goes for that long. I'm not quite sure how these guys survive mentally doing that sort of thing. But, I don't know. I suppose it's probably like being a Manchester United fan at the moment, isn't it?
Well, there'd be a certain amount of pain involved. There's no doubt about that. But at least at the end of the line, you know there's going to be some joy. You guys can't guarantee that at the moment. What about Ruby Tui? No. If you're looking to sign and get your NRLW franchise underway with high profile and you are the Warriors, would you be looking at Ruby Tui? Who would you look at, Gords, to attract attention?
Smithy, you and I both know Cameron George, okay? We know this guy reasonably well. Cameron George, you cannot tell me that guy is not talking to Ruby Tui and her officials, her people, because that would be the ultimate rugby league power play in this country to make a play for Ruby Tui and get her playing rugby league for the Warriors. She is the ultimate marketing chess piece for New Zealand rugby in this country. And if Cameron George isn't on the phone to her and her people, I will be utterly astounded. Will she make the move? I don't know. But he will not die wondering on that. I am very sure of it.
Well, it just makes sense to me. It honestly makes sense. And she's at a stage of her career where money as opposed to honours. I mean, she's achieved as much as she probably can in rugby union across the sevens and the 15s. If she wants to cash in, it seems to me, and I'll tell you what, the Pied Piper, there will be those that follow if she went. I can guarantee you that. It's a common sense business decision.
Yep, I totally agree with you, Smithy. She will be the kind of person that will attract other players. It'll be sort of a follow me type scenario. I think that the other point you raised, though, she literally has achieved everything else in rugby. And Ruby Tui is at the stage of her career now where she will be absolutely thinking about brand Ruby Tui and post-career build her resume and become, you know, an NRLW champion with the Warriors. She has just completely opened up her market. She would become, you know, potentially not only having a post-rugby career in media, but a post-rugby league career in media. Think about what Aussie networks would be willing to throw at her in terms of getting behind a mic and being part of their coverage. She would absolutely rake it in. So I think from a commercial point of view, perhaps, for Ruby Tui, rather than even necessarily a sporting sort of ambition point of view, I think it makes total sense for her to make that switch.
I do too. I just think it's I wouldn't say it's a no-brainer, but it's getting close to it. Now, let's just stay with the Warriors franchise, look at the men's side of things. Goods, I've asked a couple of people this question this week. Are you worried?
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm worried because not about expectations or anything like that and where I thought they might be at this stage of the season. I'm worried because I've watched these last few games the last few weeks, and I know other people that have said this week, I've used the word predictable, they've lost their mojo. I just kind of get the feeling that opposition teams have figured them out on attack because it's not as though they're not getting opportunities. They are still getting plenty of possession in the right parts of the park, but when they go down and they're, you know, 10 metres out, they're attacking the opposition line, opposition defences just seem to have them worked out. Now, whether that's, you know, down to their own sort of homework, I suppose, I just feel like the Warriors are going to the well, going and calling on the plays that have got them the results so far, and they're just not working anymore. It feels like they might need to reimagine their attack. It's going to be interesting hearing, I think, from Andrew Webster, Tohu Harris, Wade Egan this afternoon when they front up to media, because I'm sure they're going to get asked about all of the things that, you know, people like Cooper Cronk and others have said this week, that they're just becoming predictable and they've lost their mojo, they've lost something. The things that used to be working for them are not working for them anymore when they get into the opposition 20. And that's something they're going to need to fix pretty damn quickly. And as we know, they've got the Roosters this weekend, then the Panthers. They've got a tough, tough run coming up. And unless they can, you know, figure things out in terms of changing plays and coming up with new strategies on attack, the pressure's going to come on Andrew Webster very soon, not just from a coaching point of view, but he's going to need to make changes. He's going to need to make personnel changes. I was a little bit surprised that the only real change we saw to the team this week was Kurt Capel out because of injury. I just wonder if how long he's going to wait before making changes because this player or that player simply isn't delivering and we need to make a change. I think when Chanel Harris-Tavita comes back into the picture, I'd be very surprised if we don't see him perhaps taking the place of Tomati Martin.
I think you're right. I think they can't wait to get him back. I mean, he showed enough in the games that he played, not enough games, but enough of talent that he has an X factor that perhaps Tomati Martin is not showing at the moment. We had a debate this morning. We've had it on the text line as well about schools, Auckland schools in particular, I'd imagine we're pointing the finger at here about not giving youngsters a viable opportunity to play rugby league to protect their first 15s. Do you know much about this? Is it an issue that you think is worthy of comment?
Well, it is worthy of comment, Smithy, because, I mean, when you hear this sort of rubbish bandied around, like, you're starting to think, is this 1990? Like, what the hell's going on? I mean, this is, it's utterly ridiculous to hear that this kind of thing is going on in 2024. You know, we're a modern society now, and well gone are the days where, well, you're going to be playing rugby for the school, and that's the end of it. Like, that is just a joke. You know, I can, you know, sort of remember when I was back at school, Smithy, in the late 1990s, that even that sort of thing was being phased out at that point. You know, we had plenty of options. Whatever you want to play in the winter, that's what you'll be playing. But you know, to think that is still happening in this day and age, and I don't really care what school it is, whether it's whether it's an elite school or a SI1 school, it doesn't matter. I mean, kids deserve the option; they can play whatever they like. And the days of just forcing it down kids' throats and telling them what they're going to do, it just doesn't wash in 2024. So, yeah, pretty disappointing to hear this sort of stuff still going on.
One of the other things that you have to acknowledge too now is women referees at the highest level. This is going to be an increasing process, so it won't be long before we see an All Black test match refereed by a woman, I would imagine. And we saw it, and it raised a slightly ugly head over the way the players approached Casey Badger at the weekend. Now, Casey Badger is officiating this weekend in the Warriors against the Roosters. We might not have taken too much notice of that up until maybe this Sunday. She was 0-7 when it came to challenges. She lost a lot to the players. What do you feel about this issue, Gordes?
Yeah, look, my general view on this is that if I don't care whether you're male or female or whatever, if you are good enough to do the job, then that's the end of the argument. As Graham Annesley said, this is not an issue of gender. If you're good enough to do the job, you'll be doing the job. And that's the only way that any of these referees should be judged. And you know, Casey Badger should be judged exactly the same way as all the other referees, and I'm sure she wouldn't want it any other way. In terms of the players and how they react, I think this is really interesting because I personally think it's a terrible look for a player if they're going to be getting up in Casey Badger's face and yelling and screaming at her in a way that they might get away with it if it was a male referee. Now, that's not to say that they should, but it looks so much worse when it's a female referee. And I actually think it's actually a great lesson for the players. Like, watch your behaviour on the field. There's no reason to speak to anyone like that, but especially when you're speaking to a female referee. And it really just reinforces the point, I think, about you respect the officials. That's a player's role. You may not agree with the decisions that they make. They'll be held accountable for those decisions after the fact. And I understand that it's emotive in the moment, and they're there doing their jobs trying to win the match, right? But humans are going to make errors. Men make mistakes, women make mistakes. It doesn't matter. That's got nothing to do with it. But I think it should be encouraged. There should be more female referees and match officials across all sports, all top-level sports. Again, it comes back to if you're good enough to do the job, give them the job.
Okay, Gordes, absolutely fantastic. I love that, and I think it's an attitude we all have to get used to. There's just a bit of uncertainty about the whole deal, isn't there? I mean, and it'll change the more we see them with the top job and the whistle in their hand. Great to catch up, mate. Hope things are good, and we'll catch up again shortly, I hope.
Absolutely. Cheers, mate.
Jez, Andrew Gordy there, folks, with his thoughts on a number of issues there on what we call the bulletin, which we'll have another one of tomorrow morning.